Welcome to my monthly podcast series titled Becoming a Sage. My name is Jan Fried, but you can call me Dr. Jan. I blog about leading, living, and saging, or positive aging. I am passionate about helping people get from where they are to where they want to be, particularly in the second half of life. I also say I'm out to retire the word retirement. We are not retiring, but we're moving on to something else, and I believe it takes time and intentional thought to successfully move on to what's next in life. So this podcast series really is to help people learn about some options about how to be intentional about this transition. Today, I'm going to interview Dr. Bill Thomas. Bill has built a reputation as one of the most eclectic, creative thinkers working in the field of medicine. Named by the Wall Street Journal as one of the top 10 Americans shaping aging, Bill is internationally known for his healthcare system innovations. He is the founder of a global nonprofit called the Eden Alternative and creator of the Greenhouse Project, radical new approaches to reform long-term care. Bill's also developed the senior ER model of care and is now prototyping a tiny house model designed to maximize independence and well-being. Since 2014, Bill has been leading an ambitious new approach to growth and aging through his annual nonfiction theatrical Changing Aging Tour. And we're going to talk more about this later in the interview. His books include Second Wind, Navigating the Passage to a Slower, Deeper, and More Connected Life, Tribes of Eden, What Are Old People For?, How Elders Will Save the World. He blogs regularly at changingaging.org and lives in New York. Welcome to the series, Bill.
Well, thanks for having me, and you made me tired of just listening.
Well, you've done a lot, and I definitely am a follower, as I'll explain in a minute. And I also wanted to say, for more information on Bill, please refer to the bio attached to this podcast. I had a leadership book come out in 2013 titled Leading with Wisdom, Sage Advice from 100 Experts, and you were one of my sages. So I wanted to say thank you for helping me then, and thank you for helping me now. I'm a big fan of yours and of your work. I use your books, your writing in my work. I followed your Changing Aging Tour, and I'm always hoping you'll make a stop in Des Moines. I think you came pretty close, and I was tempted, but the dates didn't work out or something.
Anyway,
we'll talk more about that. But so I just have some questions, and living and leading are so integrated. And one of the conclusions to my book was it's hard to be a good leader if you're not a good person. So we have to work on being good people. And I see you doing this in a variety of ways, and particularly focused on elders. How will boomers age? Based on your extensive work in this area?
I think one of the interesting things is that, to a degree that's, I think, probably unprecedented, the people who were members of the boomer generation grew up with a cultural narrative that celebrated youth as the exclusive source of worth and value and beauty and strength. And the boomer generation, famous for really celebrating and embracing that youth-oriented narrative. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is, if you've looked at your calendar lately, you know that days keep going by. Months go by, years go by. And they used to call the baby boomers the baby boomers. They dropped the baby. And it's pretty clear that these youth-oriented generation is going to encounter aging in a very different way than previous generations, because it's aging has never been part of the boomer generation narrative.
Interesting, so how will they age, or what will they be looking for?
Well, I actually see a couple of different groups in this mix. So if you don't mind, I'll start with the group we see the most of and we read the most about. And they are what I refer to as the denialists. Mm-hmm. The denialists are people who are like, ha, 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 aging, funny joke, I'm not doing it. And they tend to focus on technology especially as a means of avoiding or eliminating or reversing aging. And you can see denialists on the pages of a magazine or on a TV show, and they're really excited about this idea that we may be living in a time when we can defeat aging forever. So those are the denialists. Then the biggest group are what I call the realists. And these are people who are like, you're kidding me. I have to do this. I've got to get old. Ugh, I don't want to, but you know what? I'm going to resist it every step of the way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my Sudoku puzzles. I'm going to eat blueberries. I am going to walk 10,000 steps every day. And I'm doing all that so that my old age won't be as bad as I expect it to be. Mm-hmm. So those are the realists. And the third group, this is really what the group you and I are part of and where our home base. These folks are dedicated to the idea that aging is the next phase of growth. Aging is where we go from here. Aging is a developmental journey. Mm-hmm. Aging is a complicated, weird, difficult, rich, meaningful part of life.
Yeah. So tell us about Minka, M-I-N-K-A, and how this will improve the lives of elders. This is a new concept to me. I'm not familiar with it. So please tell us about it.
Well, you know, one of the things I've learned over the years is that there basically aren't any new ideas. And the best we can do is make use of the best old ideas.
Sure.
And I have spent time traveling and lecturing in Japan and became very interested in the way people in centuries ago, people in Japan made buildings. I'm going to tell a little story about this, and then I'll come back to Minka, and you'll see why. So, in the what's called the Edo period, Edo, Japan opened itself up to trade with the West, and a whole new merchant class emerged. Many of these merchants were very, very prosperous. So this upset the samurai, who were the nobility. They didn't like that the regular people were building these grand houses. So the samurai made rules, punishable by death, rules about how many materials a merchant could use to build his house. And this is one of the things I love about human beings. So they gave them these limited materials, and what did the merchants do? They figured out how to build really great houses with very few materials. And so this was developed into a style of architecture called Minka. And the word Minka is means a house for regular people. And I love that story because what it really says to me, the story for me, says it's the difficulties that show you the way forward. And so when I think about housing in America, I have two things that I always come back to, and I think a lot of your listeners will be able to relate to this. Since the end of World War II, the average American house has doubled in size. Since the end of World War II, the average number of people living in a house in America has dropped in half. Mm-hmm. So on a per-person basis, houses are four times as big as they were at the end of World War II. So this is just in the lifetime of the boomers, right? Mm-hmm. Now, normally you'd say, okay, so great, we have big houses. What's wrong with that? Well, this is where aging comes in. And I will say that as a geriatrician, I have seen big houses kill a lot of people. I have seen big houses bankrupt people. I have seen big houses isolate people and cut them off from family and friends. Excuse me. And the reason is it takes energy, money and energy, to keep up a big house. And when you're raising a family and you're working full-time paid employment, that's manageable. But as you get into your 70s, 80s, and 90s, the house becomes a very heavy burden. So starting a few years ago, I started to think about what would it be like to build a compact house, a little house. Not tiny, by the way. A single floor, ADA accessible, compact house that would be affordable and that would be your own house. Now, there's actually long been a tradition of this. You've probably been to places where there's a little apartment that used to be a garage out back or a little side building. So those accessory dwelling units are really key to keeping families together. Mm-hmm. And because they're smaller and more affordable, they can be key to helping older people maintain their independence.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Have you already started this, or where is this being done?
Well, So I have five children, and my daughter Haley actually was born with a very profound neurologic disability called Okahara syndrome. So my daughter Haley has actually used a wheelchair her whole life, and needs somebody to be with her. That's her lived experience, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we decided, she's 23 now. Yay, Haley! She's 23, and we thought, well, if you're 23, you might want to have your own place. So we actually built a minka on our property.
And our minka was designed for Haley Jane. And it really works for her because it's ADA mm-hmm. and it's single floor. Mm-hmm. And she really, really loves it. And
that's what I'm sort of saying is that the house you live in can make or break your independence. And I really say that as a geriatrician and as a researcher.
We don't pay enough attention to the toll in mismatched housing takes on the people we love.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, you factor in the people who have more than one home. So not just the size of the home, but the number of homes. And one is plenty for me. Well, this is so interesting. Tell us about, I know my listeners want to know more about the Changing Aging Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And is it still going? What is it? Is it still going on? And then what are a couple of the main things that you've learned or observed from this tour? So really kind of tell us about the tour.
Well, I'll tell you. So 4 years ago now, going on 5 years ago, I got this idea that we should do a pro-aging theater festival and take it on the road. Mm-hmm. So we put together a theater company. With performers, musicians, tech people, lighting, sound, everything you'd imagine. We designed some sets and created a couple of shows.
And the shows, the afternoon show is called Disrupt Dementia.
Love it.
And it's about, questioning the tragedy narrative that has grown up around dementia. And
the evening show is called Life's Most Dangerous Game. And as you probably would guess, Life's Most Dangerous Game is aging. Mm-hmm. And it actually makes the NFL look like
flag football, Mm-hmm. So we would go on the road. We got a rock and roll tour bus, pulling trailer, musicians, actors, the crew, myself.
We all went out on the road, and we've done 125 cities.
Wow.
Showing up in local communities and performing. And you asked about what we learned. I would offer two insights. Number one,
there really are a few things sweeter than being on the road with a delightful
group of companions doing good work together and performing on stage, that is a very nice way to live. Mm-hmm. And number two, it is, it's a challenge for people to confront their own ideas about aging
and open themselves up to different narratives about aging. Mm-hmm. And I think the number one piece of feedback we got from doing 125 cities so far, number one,
is that people would come out of the theater and go, that wasn't what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's true. It wasn't what they were expecting. And I
actually always felt that that was a high compliment to the work we were doing.
Oh, absolutely. Are you still doing this? Is the tour still going on?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to be, our next show, I believe our next show is in May in Atlanta.
And we're going to be swinging through New Jersey and Philadelphia and probably on the West Coast in the fall.
So. Any planned performances in the Midwest?
Oh, darn it all.
Oh, gosh.
How do we keep missing Des Moines? What is going on here?
Well, you know, did you go to Omaha, Kansas City?
Yeah.
Minneapolis? Actually, I think you were in Minneapolis. And I honestly, it was like you were somewhere. It was a couple hours away. And I thought the date just didn't fall right for me.
Yeah, but, yeah, sure.
But, you know, it's interesting, Bill, what documentary comes to mind, and I'm sure you saw it. This is a few years ago. It was called Young at Heart.
Oh, yeah, sure. Very familiar.
And, you know, again, documentary about a group, I believe, on the East Coast, maybe Massachusetts. And they started a singing group, and they would tour. And it was so moving, but every aspect of saging was reflected in this documentary. But the story that I often tell in my workshops is I was going off to the movie, and I couldn't wait to see it. And my son, my oldest son, who was probably, say, 25 at the time, mm-hmm. he was out of college, and he said, I'll go with you. And I said, oh, honey, you know, you don't want to go to this movie. And he said, why not? And I said, well, there's no action, and it's going to be probably slow, and it's about aging. He goes, no, I'll go.
I said,
I know.
Cool.
So halfway through the movie, of course, I'm loving every minute because every line just reinforces the work that you and I are doing.
Right.
So, and I could use this in workshops. So about halfway through the movie, I leaned over to him and I said, well, what do you think? And he goes, oh, I really like it. And I was shocked. So then on the way home, I said, well, what did you really think? And he said, honestly, Mom, he said, I thought it was great. He said, it's nice to see older people positive and optimistic.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, that was perceptive of him.
Yeah.
So anyway, I often tell that story. So, well,
what's
Bill,
a great story.
Yeah, I really thought so. So our time's coming to an end. So one of the last questions I love to ask the sages I'm interviewing, what else should I have asked you that our listeners need to know in order to make the rest of life the best of life?
Well, I will offer this.
Every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern, I do about 20 minutes of, every Friday afternoon
at 3 o'clock Eastern, I do about 20 minutes on Facebook Live.
Okay.
And I'm hosted by a site called Hello Milo. Hello Milo. M-I-L-O, Milo.
Okay.
And I talk a little bit about what I'm working on, and then I take questions.
Oh.
So if your listeners want to stop by at any time, I'd love to have them. I take questions right
live. So if one of your listeners tells me where she came from your spot, I'll give them a shout out on the Facebook Live.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know. I will definitely sign into this, and this is great.
I will tell you, last week, we had 43,000 views. So
wow.
Yeah.
Well, that is really good because you will get this link and you can push it out on your social media
sure.
when we're ready to release it. Well, I'll tell you what, you've given us a lot to think about. I want to remind people that you blog on changingaging.org. And so between that and your Friday afternoon, you know, people can learn more about you and learn more about the topic that you and I are passionate about.
You bet.
But
I love it.
We have to change the narrative, that's for sure. And it starts with self.
It does. And I'm going to leave you with a thought.
Okay.
I was thinking, what could we call that third group that embraces the experience? I think we should call them the enthusiasts.
I like it.
Because they're approaching aging with enthusiasm. And you know, you can approach things that are difficult with enthusiasm. You can approach things that are beautiful with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is key to aging, I think.
Well, sense of humor, certainly. So I think this is I think this is wonderful. That is great. I love it. It needs the third group needed a name. I love it.
There you go.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Bill. I'm honored. So thank you.
We'll talk again.
We'll talk again. Bye-bye.